start me up.
Turn me up.
Baby, start me up on that style. I've been running high.
This is the Quality News Network. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says the level of violence in Iraq is much worse than a civil war. He says Iraq is more dangerous now than it was during the regime of Saddam Hussein. In Iraq, four Marines died after their helicopter broke down today, forcing an emergency landing. 9 other American troops died over the weekend. That's 14 in the past 4 days. Also in Iraq, at least 30 Iraqis were killed today in sectarian violence. 70 bodies were found dumped throughout the country, 50 of them in Baghdad. In Washington tomorrow, Senate confirmation hearings for Robert Gates, the president's choice for defense secretary. This weekend, a memo written by Donald Rumsfeld was released. Rumsfeld called for a major adjustment in Iraq tactics because, quote, what U.S. forces are currently doing in Iraq is not working well enough or fast enough, end quote. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. John Bolton has resigned after leading senators from both parties announced they would not support his nomination. In the Philippines, aid groups estimate at least 1,000 people died in last week's typhoon. More than 60,000 were made homeless. The typhoon is now headed for southern Vietnam. In the U.S. Supreme Court today, demonstrations outside the courthouse as justices heard arguments on affirmative action cases in public schools. The justices will decide whether programs in Seattle and Louisville establish student diversity or promote illegal race quotas. In the southern plains and Midwest, there are still hundreds of thousands of residents without power following 5 days of freezing temperatures. 19 people were killed last week after the season's first major storm hit the region. In Southern California, 70-mile-an-hour Santa Ana winds continued to spread a wildfire northwest of Los Angeles, which has doubled in size since it broke out yesterday. 9,700 acres and 5 homes have been destroyed. In Grants Pass, Oregon, 2 San Francisco children, including an infant, as well as their mother, were found alive in the snowy wilderness today after having been missing for more than a week. The family's father, who set off on foot to seek help, remains missing. In Chile, former dictator General Augusto Pinochet is hospitalized. He's responsible for the torture and death of hundreds of thousands of Chileans.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of The Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At The Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
OPEC's president says the world is oversupplied by 1 million barrels a day. The oil cartel meets 10 days from now and is expected to cut oil supply. A Dubai official says China wants to negotiate directly with OPEC to ensure a stable oil supply for its country. Drug maker Pfizer has shut down trials on an experimental new drug for heart disease following the deaths of 82 people involved. Pfizer spent $1 billion on the new drug. A labor dispute in Las Vegas could severely disrupt services at 2 major hospitals where nurses are being locked out of their jobs today. As a response, nurses are setting up picket lines. A New Jersey Taco Bell has been temporarily closed after 22 customers were sickened by E. coli. A similar outbreak in a Long Island Taco Bell has also been reported. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.46 a barrel. on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 90 points at 12,283. The NASDAQ up 35 at 2448. The S&P 500 up 12 at 1409. Gold ended trading at $651.40 an ounce. Silver at $14.28 an ounce. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lunt. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Voodoo child, Lord, I'm a voodoo child.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning. That's right. It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and who expect working Americans to pay for their billionaires' gains. And now, brought to you by the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, it's the Bruce Birch Radio Program with your host, Bruce Birch.
Well, the night I was born, Lord, I swear the moon turned on fire red.
All right, welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program for this Monday, December the 4th. Yeah, that's right. No, it's the 4th. It's the 4th of December. It's damn cold outside here on the East Coast of the United States. The warm weather that we had last week just vanished into thin air. Just went poof. So it's a little bit chilly outside here, and so I'm hoping that you're snug as a bug in a rug listening to the radio program tonight. And if you are, then glad to have you aboard. If you're not, then you're not hearing this, are you? Again, as Annabelle Lund said, it's actually about 6 minutes past the hour now. Now, if you want to get in on the show tonight, you can do that by dialing into the head-on radio hotline, the free speech phone line, at 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. Now, wanted to go ahead and pop right into some audio, because this was good news to me, anyway.
And as Mr. Kindler was speaking, President Bush meeting with U.N. Ambassador John Bolton. Here is a bit of what he said. Mr. Bolton will be stepping down as U.N. Ambassador.
Thank you and Gretchen for serving in a very important position and doing so in a way that a lot of Americans really appreciate, John. We're going to miss you in this administration. You've been a stalwart defender of freedom and peace. You've been strong in your advocacy for human rights and human dignity. You've done everything that can be expected for an ambassador, and I accept your letter, and I wish you and Gretchen all the very best.
Many thanks.
Thanks
Many
for
thanks.
Service.
Thanks for service.
Yep, that's right. What's happened is that the John Bolton has decided to resign from his post as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, and people who I think they're actually having a party right now in New York there at the United Nations, and maybe we'll get some audio from that later on. I'm sure that they're having a good time knowing that he's not going to be coming back as ambassador. Now, Fox News picked up on this story, and what did they blame it on? They said, well, it's those Democrats. They just won't allow an up or down vote. They just won't let us have our way. You know, Fox News is now the official cheerleader for the Bush administration. And, following that line of reasoning, the president has now turned to none other than Britt Hume to do an interview. And apparently, this interview was this evening. The Bush administration again appears to be turning to the friendlier shores of Rupert Murdoch's Fox News. President Bush met with Fox News anchor Brit Hume on Sunday for a sit-down interview, and the full interview was supposed to be aired today, this evening. The cable news channel is promoting the interview as Bush's first sit-down since the Democrats triumphed over his party during the midterm elections. Fox's website is quoted as saying, "With the balance of power shifted and the new battles on the Hill, President Bush gives his first interview since the election. What's his plan to get his party back on track for 2008? Yeah, well, I think the first thing he could probably do is resign. This afternoon, Hume said that on Fox that the interview included discussions on Iraq and the recent election woes, and that President Bush believes that the judgment of history on what he has done will be far different than that of contemporary views. Well, you know, those contemporary views included five editorials in the Washington Post yesterday that debated whether or not Bush was the worst president ever. Oh, my goodness. After interviewing Bush, Hume said that he didn't think any great change will be affecting U.S. policy toward Iraq anytime soon. Despite the Democrats now controlling both houses in Congress, vocal Republican critics, and the upcoming release of a report by the Bipartisan Iraq Study Group, which will reportedly recommend policy changes. And what I understand from that, it's very little. As Variety reported, the sit-down will mark the second time the administration has turned to Fox in a time of trouble. Vice President Dick Cheney visited with Hume exclusively after his hunting accident. You know, if you got to turn to Fox after you shoot a guy in the face, yeah, something's wrong. In the latest setback for the Bush administration, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, yes, Yosemite Sam himself, handed in his resignation earlier this morning, as we just heard, and the president accepted his resignation and wished he and his wife and his numerous girlfriends well. Less than 1 month after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was forced out, John Bolton is no longer in the administration. Now, let's take a look at that for a moment, if we will. You know, the bottom line here is that this administration is on the rocks. This administration has at this point, you know, the hate that has been spewed forth by the administration, the hate that has been spewed forth by the mouthpieces of the administration, the hate that has been being used to try to create fear in the populace is no longer winning over the hearts and minds of the American people. Why, I wonder? Well, people are beginning to see through the thinly veiled smoke, and you know what they're seeing? They're seeing some truth, I believe. They saw enough truth to oust the Republicans from Congress. They saw that the corruption and you know, the backhanded, the underhanded deals and the backroom agreements that the Republicans were making in forcing the Democrats out of the decision-making processes there on Capitol Hill. They saw that, and they said, wait a minute. Well, I thought this was supposed to be the party of moral values. I thought this was supposed to be the party of less government, of that's right, fiscal responsibility. Many, many people who voted this past election about a month ago, actually, I think about a month ago today, or thereabouts, decided that what they wanted to see was a change. Now, in my view, I totally agree with that idea. But the reality is, folks, is that the last party that balanced the budget happened to be the Democratic Party. The last party that had 8 years of unfettered peace, for the most part, was the Democratic Party. Now, that's not to say the Democratic Party can't, you know, probably wouldn't get involved in some sort of violent conflict. I mean, the bottom line is that if someone attacks us, yes, of course that would happen. But to choose war as a first option rather than a last resort isn't the purview of most Democrats. That's generally the purview of most Republicans. Why? Well, they own stock in a lot of the war-making industries, in a lot of the industries that fuel the causes of war, the gun industries, the tank industries, all that stuff. So, you know, we see a situation now where things have changed, and the reality is that the administration is falling apart like a cheap suit. John Bolton, Donald Rumsfeld, John Bolton, who's next? Who's next on the list? I still stand by my prediction that I made, I guess, a week or 2 weeks ago or something like that, that we'll see Dick Cheney go from the administration and take the fall for everything that's happened, probably somewhere around February, somewhere in that neighborhood. Now, let's, you know what, it's quarter after the hour. Let's go ahead and take our break. We'll come back. When we come back, we'll cover a little bit more of this stuff and let you know what's going on around the world and take your phone calls. This is the Bruce Burks Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right. right, welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, where we try to make some sense out of the insanity of the right wing. And, you know, it's like trying to apply logic to insanity, isn't it? It doesn't work very well. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the program, the Washington Post yesterday had five editorials arguing whether or not George W. Bush was the worst president ever. In one particular editorial, Michael Lind, a Whitehead senior fellow at the New America Foundation, argues that it's unfair to call Bush the worst, since the policies of Presidents James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, Richard M. Nixon, and James Madison were even more disastrous. By contrast, George W. Bush has inadvertently destroyed only Baghdad, not Washington, and the costs of the Iraq War in blood and treasure are far less than those of Korea and Vietnam. Okay. The Rutgers University professor David Greenberg agrees that Bush ranks ahead of Nixon, but adds that it's conceivable that the consequences of the invasion of Iraq may prove more destructive than those of Nixon's stubborn continuation of the Vietnam War. Should those things happen, Bush will be able to lay a claim to the mantle of U.S. history's worst president. For now, though, he writes, Greenberg writes, I'm sticking with Dick. Good for you, David Greenberg. On the other hand, University of Massachusetts professor Vincent J. Canato believes that it's too early to tell and slams the, quote, left-leaning historical profession for rushing to judgment. Canato writes, much of Bush's legacy will rest on the future Okay, let's start that sentence over, shall we? Canato writes, much of Bush's legacy will rest on the future trajectory of the fight against terrorism, the nation's continued security, and the evolving direction of the Middle East. Things may look grim today, but that doesn't ensure a grim future. But Canato admits that he worked briefly as a speechwriter in 2001 for the Bush administration. Columbia University professor Eric Foner noted that although it's impossible to say with certainty how Bush will be ranked in, say, 2050, somehow in his first 6 years in office he has managed to combine the lapses of leadership, misguided policies, and abuse of power of his failed predecessors. Foner also wrote, I think there is no alternative but to rank him as the worst president in U.S. history. And Douglas Brinkley, historian and author, wrote that he believes that Bush has joined Hoover as a case study on how not to be a president. Brinkley writes, though Bush may be viewed as a laughingstock, he won't have the zero integrity factors that kept Nixon and Harding at the bottom in the presidential sweepstakes. His essay was called Move Over Hoover. Five of them, folks. Five of them. What does that tell you? Well, it tells me something. It tells me that the ongoing problems of the Bush administration can't get much better. I mean, they can't get much worse either, really. I mean, you know, the only thing that could get worse in his, much worse in his presidency is if he gets impeached. And, well, you know, that could happen. It could absolutely happen. One thing that I'd also like to mention with regard to the Bush presidency, before I get on into some other topics, apparently Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has engineered a plan to eliminate all extended recesses except for the traditional August break during the 110th Congress. And this may have an added benefit for Democrats. It could be a backdoor way of preventing President Bush from unilaterally installing controversial nominees in key executive and judicial branch posts through recess appointments. And as you well know, if you listen to this program, that's been one of the president's favorite tools to circumvent Congress. We just want an up or down vote. That's all we want. Well, you know, there's rules, and those rules involve having the ability to filibuster a nominee. And if you have the ability to filibuster a nominee, then that pretty much is an up or down vote, isn't it? Apparently, conservative columnist Robert Novak, wrote about Reid's plan the other day. He said, quote, or he wrote, Senator Harry Reid, leading the Senate's new Democratic majority, is framing next year's schedule in a way that will make it difficult, if not impossible, for President Bush to give recess appointments to nominees blocked for nomination. With perhaps 100 or 80 or more confirmable positions coming open in January, the administration could find itself forced to either negotiate in earnest with Senate Democrats to fill spots, convince top officials to postpone leaving for a lucrative career in the private sector until August, or else make significant use of the Vacancies Act, which allows presidents to fill slots by granting officials from within the various departments and agencies acting status as short-term caretakers. Now, for their part, the Democrats deny that Bush's pattern of making often controversial recess appointments in any way shaped Reid's decision to eliminate long breaks. One leadership aide said it's not because of the recess appointment business, it's because Reid wants to get things done. I'll have to say, in Harry Reid's defense regarding this, that it's absolutely probably a great idea. There is a lot of fix-it work that needs to be done. Now, in particular, in the first 100 days, Nancy Pelosi has a plan to create, to raise the minimum wage, to revamp the Medicare Part D, to try to bring about a change in the Pell Grant system. There's a lot of stuff that they want to get done, and I can guarantee you that the only way it's going to get done is if they work some long hours, some long days, and skip some breaks. A lot of stuff that needs to be revamped. One of the things that I'd like to see happen myself would be a recall, if you will, a rescinding, a revote, an abolishment of the Military Detainee Act of 2006. You know, the one that legalized torture, the one that removed habeas corpus, the one that created a barbaric society with the signature of George W. Bush on it. The Military Detainee Act removes all of the detainees' rights. They're not allowed to sue in federal court to challenge their detention. They're often not allowed to see evidence presented against them. I mean, how can they prepare a defense if they can't see the evidence? And not only that, but it allows the torturers... That's right, when there's torture, guess what? There are people who commit the act. And those people are employed by the United States government, folks. Does that make me a traitor for saying it? Hell no. It makes them a traitor for committing it, in my view. But there are people who do that, and those torturers are given immunity through the Military Detainee Act for their actions. And it's retroactive to September 11th, 2001. And guess what? That also includes the president under that act. And this was Arlen Specter's legacy. That's right, those of you in Pennsylvania, that this was Arlen Specter's legacy, the Military Detainee Act of 2006. So there's a lot of stuff that's got to get fixed, and not the least of which is a complete overhauling of how, just, you know, everything. I'm like, what? Where do we start? You know, it's like walking into a house that's been ransacked and say, well, where do you start cleaning up? You know, that's what's happened under the Bush administration. They have come in, they've looted the Treasury, they've tried to destroy democracy as we know it, they've tried to create a fear-based society in which you and I walk around scared of being attacked by a terrorist when it's more likely that we're going to be killed by a drunk driver or perhaps a stray bullet from a drug deal gone bad than we would ever get killed by a terrorist. It's about 29 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch radio program. If you want to get in on the show this evening, the telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. So goodbye, John Bolton, another neocon bites the dust. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who made a career out of trashing the place, couldn't get Senate approval. Not the first time, when Bush gave him a recess appointment, and not now, when the Democrats control Congress. In accepting Bolton's resignation, Bush said Bolton cares about the institution of the UN, which will come as a surprise to most diplomats, for what Bolton embodied in his very being was the disdain and the arrogance that the Bush administration has demonstrated for multilateral institutions, whether the UN, the Kyoto Accords, or the International Criminal Court. My colleague, Amitabh Pal, has just finished an article demonstrating just how hostile Bolton was to that court. Before going to the UN, Bolton was at the State Department, where he headed up a move to coerce foreign countries into signing bilateral agreements with Washington that would exempt our soldiers and our officials and even our private contractors from being sent up to that court. The Bush administration got 100 countries to sign on that dotted line, though 50 stood their ground. Bullying was Bolton's way, and bullying is Bush's way. But like most bullies, they're finally getting their comeuppance. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
That's right. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bruce, and you've reached the Bruce Birch Radio program. You know, moving away from the so-called political arena, I just got to play this audio. You know, one more time again, the right wing and the people who blast their voices across the airwaves, claiming to be righteous in their ideas, they're morons, aren't they? Let's have a listen, shall we?
A bunch of people who are running around and they're angry, but they've got no direction for the anger. And there are so many insane things that every day I come into work and I say to myself, how can this be happening? Now, I have to tell you that I did not want to do Christmas controversy stories this year. You know, we did it last year. We won the war. Walmart and Macy's and all the big stores are saying Merry Christmas, and they've stopped ordering their employees not to say it, most of them. Best Buy and Crate and Barrel are two that still are ordering their people not to say Merry Christmas, which is the worst kind of fascism you could possibly have. They have a right to do it, but it's just stupid. But anyway, this season I said to myself, you know, with all the trouble we have overseas and the war on terror, I really don't want to get into the Christmas thing again. We won it. It was a worthy campaign, but do we have to do it again? And then I'm confronted with the stuff. So that is the end game. Now, you get back to Crate and Barrel and Best Buy, who are ordering their employees, if you say Merry Christmas, we will fire you. Now, this is insane. Okay? It is, to me, an affront, so I don't shop at those places. I don't want to give them my business because they annoy me. Nothing more. Nothing more. It's annoying. I don't want to do business with those people. Am I right? Now, it is their right to tell their employees what they can and cannot say. Unfortunately, private companies can do that. It's their right. So it's basically my right. I'm not going to buy your little barrel or a crate, or I'm not going to Best Buy. I'm going to go someplace that says Merry Christmas because it's the Christmas season. That's why you give gifts. You give gifts because it's Christmas time. The spirit of giving. That's a tradition. Don't acknowledge a tradition. I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to do it. To fire somebody. How many people have I fired this year? Philip Nolman, CEO of the Nolman Group and author of the marketing book, Just Say Yes. All right, so you believe that Crate and Barrel and Best Buy and others who order their employees not to say Merry Christmas are smart?
Oh, thank you, Bill. Merry fucking Christmas, Bill. Thanks for that gift of love and cherish and good tidings to you. That's right, good tidings to you, Bill. On this wonderful season, you know, I've never in my life heard such tripe. Actually, I have, and I think I, you know, the last show I did was kind of like full of that stuff. But the reality is war and Christmas in the same sentence is, to me, well, it's completely ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous? Well, he says, quote, we won that war. And I got to tell you, you know, if that's the only war that he can win, then we've got trouble. Because, you know, the other one that's going on in Iraq right now, the other one that's going on in Iraq, we don't need that war, do we, huh? We don't need that war, do we? No. With the war on terror, I didn't want to get into the war on Christmas. How about the war on morons, Bill? I think you would be on the top of the list of the war on morons. I don't know. I apologize. First of all, I apologize for playing that story because of how stupid it was. But I needed to let you know again. You know, we got to give you we got to give you the rundown on what these people are doing, right? Well, these Fox News people, the Hannitys, the O'Reillys, the ones who claim that they have a corner on the truth, the ones that claim they have a corner on fact. There are many, many, many Jewish people in this country. There are many Muslim people. There are many people who are Wiccan. There are many people who are a religious, such as myself, who choose not to have a religion, who believe very strongly that there is a spirit in Christmas time. And, you know, those of us who believe in some of those things actually do things other than go to stores and buy crap to give to other people. You know, one of the things that I've done that I mentioned actually in a telephone conversation on this radio program with a caller is, instead of spending exorbitant amounts of stuff on cheap plastic crap from China, a la Walmart, for people who may or may not appreciate it? How about give the gift of helping a family who really desperately wants to provide Christmas to their children, you know, but can't afford to do so because of the economy being as in the bucket like it is, who has to work three jobs just to pay the rent and keep food on the table and heat, because God knows the gas prices are through the roof, right? How about helping that family instead? How about reaching out and saying, instead of this year, instead of heaping huge amounts of MP3 players and I don't know, whatever it is, the Wii and the PlayStation 3 and all the stuff that seems to be popping up, of course, right around the Christmas season, how about help that family provide a humble Christmas for their children? Aren't they deserving as well? Or have we gotten to be so wrapped up in our own selfishness, such as Bill O'Reilly has so aptly suggested? I'm referring to the fact that he was selfish in wanting to have a war on Christmas and how we won the war. How about let's focus on something a little bit less inflammatory and a little bit more Christmassy, and focus that energy on actually trying to help someone else. Now, we don't want to do that. Nope, don't want to do that. That goes directly against conservative principles, you know, the ones that says that every man has to pull himself up by his own bootstraps. Social Darwinism. You know, the very idea that if you don't got it, that's tough. You got to get it like I did. You got to go out and fight and hurt other people and step on others and cheat and all the stuff that I did to get mine. Well, I think there's a third way. And I think that third way involves those of us who have a little something reaching around behind us and helping those who don't have a little something and giving them a helping hand, because in actuality, that is exactly the meaning of this time of the year. In my humble opinion, it is. Many people who have a religious faith focus on the religious faith aspect, and that's fine. But always remember that in the middle of your religious faith that there are other people who need your help. And they may not be religious. They may not want religion. But they also may be humble enough to accept help when it's offered. One of the things that I'm just going to get off into a little bit of a rant here, because it seems to be going that direction. One of the things that has been a troubling thing for me over the last 5 years. You know, I worked for a faith-based organization in a job over the last 5 years. In addition to doing the radio program over the last year, I was also working this other job and working with homeless people in a faith-based organization. And all too often, I have seen situations and circumstances where people who were seeking help, who were homeless, who had nowhere to go, who had nothing, who were offered help by these organizations, were lured in by some of these organizations and then proselytized, had religion shoved down their throat. Or, you know, they get their lives together, and the first thing that the church or the faith-based organization wants to do is drag them out and show them off and go, I need you to speak at this church. I need you to speak at that church. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to be our poster child because you're doing good, and it's because of us. Well, didn't that person play a role in the change that they made in their lives? I think they did. There's nothing wrong with a faith-based organization operating a program. There is inherently something wrong when that ultimate goal isn't helping the person, rather adding another soul in the coffer of God. I struggle with that, and I struggled with that in the work that I did with this organization, because in the program that I ran, I wouldn't allow it. I didn't allow preaching. I didn't allow proselytizing from any faith, because my view was that if you take care of the immediate needs, if you take care of the food and this, you know, the Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you take care of the immediate needs, the food, the shelter, the clothing, then that person may be able to focus on some of the other stuff that they need to do, such as internal change, such as looking within themselves and having a little bit more idle time rather than surviving on the streets or surviving doing whatever they're doing, and being able to see that they too can create a change within themselves. I had a great success with that program. And, you know, and the reason why I had great success with that program wasn't because of what I did. It was because of what I allowed to happen. If you allow change to occur, change occurs. If you allow someone to find their path, guess what they do? They find their path. If you create an environment that is loving and accepting and helpful and respectful, chances are the people who come through there are going to feel loved, accepted, helped, and hopeful. You know, so, and I'm laughing because I just, my producer, he's always popping a joke off at me. But that's my entire point. My entire point, you know, let's get back to the war on Christmas. Let's look at that for a second. Is that not one of the most selfish things you ever heard in your life? I think it is. And primarily I think it is because there's so much other work that needs to be done in the world than to force employees to say Merry freaking Christmas. Now, Merry Christmas, that's a wonderful thing. Glad that you feel that way. I don't besmirch or would not want to deny anyone their right to say Merry Christmas if they so choose or so desire, but I also think that forcing employees to say it is, again, in violation of, well, the very tenets that the conservatives like to trumpet, and that being self-determination. You know, it's a very it's also akin to this whole thing with the Muslims on the airplane. If you allow someone the ability to go ahead and pray, what's it going to hurt? It's not going to hurt anything. It might make somebody uncomfortable, but that's fine. Why? That's fine. But the very same people who would want to deny Muslims the right to pray on airplanes are the very same people that would want to force your children to say prayer in school, Christian prayers. Taking a deep breath now. Let's go ahead over to the phone lines. Our good friend Spike from Easton, PA, is joining us on line one. Spike, how you doing?
Oh, Gonzo, greetings, and I got to lead this off by saying Jesus loves the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, we're going to talk about the war on Christmas. I mean, once you tie Christ and war together in a single phrase, I mean, it's a little crazy. There's a guy who likes to connect a Muslim god and war. What's his name? Oh, that's right, Osama bin Laden. That's kind of the fanatical direction that Faux News is heading, is Al-Christa, as I like to think of them.
And we came up with Al-Christa. What did we also come up with?
Oh, there was a few of them. Al-Christa was the one I submitted. I mean, 'tis the season to be words you can't say over the radio. But
Christoban.
Yeah, that was another one. You had like a novel on different phrases that we had come up with.
Sure did. That was great fun, you know. You know, but the other thing is that I don't want to belittle the liberal Christians out there who wear their faith like a loose garment. And what I mean by that is that they actually do practice the principles that they're taught, and they don't try to force it on anyone else. And you know what? Those people are cool. It's the ones that tell me that they hate me and in the same sentence tell me that if I don't live like they do, I'm going to hell. I'm like, wait, whoa, stop.
Well, it's kind of ironic in a way how fanatically to the right the evangelical church in this country has gone, considering the only evangelical that's been ever president of the United States is Jimmy Carter, who was at one time, I believe, painted by the many cons in this country as being a religious wacko. You know, they marginalized him by his faith in God. And, you know, it's interesting. Whenever they like to slander people about the death penalty, they always bring on their right-wing talking point shows, people from the ACLU, people they can paint as communists and, you know, people of godless nature. If you ever go to outside of a prison before an execution, pretty much the biggest group there protesting the execution are nuns and priests and rather holy people who find it to be very sacrilege to execute someone in the name of justice. And
well, I think what we're getting at here, Spike, is really less about particular religious sects and more about fundamentalism. You know, that the idea of, well, and I could say that the same thing for the Islamic fundamentalists, you know, or any other religion where they believe that the word of their Bible or Quran or Torah or whatever is to be completely taken literally and not, you know, interpreted, you know, and you know, used as a guidebook for how to live a principled life. You know, what we see instead is you know, that these guys, they get up and they, you know, but they have great fun. People want to be told, this is the thing I think that really bugs me worse than anything else, Spike, is that it really appears that most people would like to be told how to live rather than to discover how to live a spiritual life themselves.
Well, yeah, and that's pretty much for the most part true. I mean, it's just the group who cloaks themselves the most in religion are the ones who are the least religious, just being snake oil salesmen. I mean, great case in point is Terry Schiavo. Last time I checked, that was, you're that religious, that's God's business when she dies. Having her attached to a machine to keep her alive, I'm not the most religious person in the world, but I don't think any religion has that in their teachings about man-made machines keeping one alive. I think that's a bit crazy, you know. And well, unfortunately, only the people in the political world who opportunized on that fell victim. Unfortunately, Sean Hannity still has a job. I mean, how, and once again, why didn't, you know, here's another point of mine. You know, when people do sick things, why doesn't the media, you know, chastise them as well as they did Michael Richards? I mean, not that what he did was right, but I mean, there's a great point. I mean, people like Sean Hannity opportunizing on people's tragedies to promote himself. I mean, he's about as despicable and disgusting.
He and Geraldo Rivera are two peas in a pod.
A few of them, yeah. I mean, and Nancy Grace caused someone to commit suicide. How come the media doesn't really rip into her, you know, other than the fact that she's one of them? I mean, the media should also work as a shark pool. You know, once there's blood in the water, they go after you. And these people put blood in the water and no one bites. It boggles my mind how everyone gets a free pass on this in this country, and how insane we look to the rest of the world with issues like that. I mean, as conservative as Ireland is, the whole Terry Schiavo thing wouldn't have occurred the way it did in this country. I mean, it brought out the worst in this country, especially from the religious far right, you know, not to mention all the people who were cashing in on it. It's just yet another reason why I do not believe in religion, by the way it's so easily manipulated and abused in this country. Far too few people practice what it, the alleged teachings are.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I would say that I would even venture to say, Spike, that you know, living, you know, I let's put it this way. My belief is, and I'll just go ahead and spew it on out there, because I think that perhaps that's a good place, a good ground for discussion. My belief is that spiritual principles transcend religious dogma. Okay, so that the principles that are found in the Quran, the principles that are found in the Torah, in you know, in Zen Buddhism, in Christianity, are all pretty much basically the same. The spiritual principles of love, of caring, of open-mindedness, of being honest, they pretty much transcend all that, you know, religious ideas. Now, trying to convince people, you know, to live that way, and actually the other part of that too is, you know, if you are coming from a place of love, if you're coming from a place of caring, if you're coming from a place where you believe that helping humanity is the ultimate goal, you can't do stuff. I almost said it. You can't beep. You can't do stuff like declaring a war on Christmas and forcing companies to bend to your will.
And
that's not a principle to me. That's called if it's a principle, it's an anti-principle called a control and manipulation.
And not to mention how it's truly anti-Semitic. Jews don't get gifts on the holiday. That's what kills me. Where's the Anti-Defamation League on this one? I mean, now I sound like someone on Fox News. Yeah, the Anti-Defamation League, they're so quick to run after people when they do something as simple as criticizing an overtly over-hostile action in Israel and calling them anti-Semitic. Here's Bill O'Reilly saying essentially, screw the Jews! Christmas! Christ! If you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. Which, by the way, that movie, a lot of people find upsetting because it in a way it makes fun of anti-Semites. That's the whole Borat thing. He did a thing once where he went with a Republican candidate for Congress, and he was, you know, posing as that reporter from overseas, and he asked him the question about people going to hell, and he said, well, if you don't believe in Christ, you're going to go to hell. And he says, what about the Jews? And the guy said, yeah, I guess the Jews will go to hell. You know, that's the sad reality in this country, is these quote holy rollers, but they kind of also believe in the, not so much the philosophy of Christ as much as the Fuhrer himself, you know, and it's just ridiculously short-sighted amongst other things. I mean, my personal favorite, though, is the line that this was founded as a Christian nation, not a Muslim nation, and which once again is another. Comments like those are anti-Semitic comments without actually coming out and saying the anti-Semitic words, without dropping the essentially the N-bomb towards the Jews. And that gets a free pass once again in this country.
I'm being told that Jews don't believe in hell, so, you know.
But I find it funny that these Christians who feel they're going to go to hell for being Jews. It doesn't seem very loving and accepting of God's children.
I got to tell you, Spike, I have lived a great deal of hell right here on this earth. And
well,
you know, I don't.
There was a conversation in the chat room before where someone said that a lot of these Christian fundamentalists think that Mormons are a satanic cult, and I thought, well, Utah kind of—it's such a prude place that would seem like a hell to me. I mean, fun is legal in Utah.
Well, and you know,
for the most part, I mean, as bland as one can be,
that's why
religion shouldn't rule a government.
That's why it blew me away that Rocky Anderson was from Salt Lake City, you know, and is such a liberal, progressive, green guy, and is loved by his constituency there.
Yeah, well,
you know?
And if I'm correct, because of the dense population of Salt Lake City, it's probably the only place a liberal can get elected, you know. And most of that state, they think George Bush is a raging liberal. I guess some of those residents of that state, you know.
George Bush, a raging liberal. He's a raging something.
And by the way, I just, you know, I've made this point a million times. That, you know, I beat a dead horse into the ground and then some many times. You know, like that whole thing with Michael Richards. Everyone made a big deal about it. When is someone going to make a big deal about what Michael Savage says? He gets paychecks to be more egregious than Michael Richards having a nervous breakdown, essentially. I mean, Richards lost it and acted like a jackass for a moment, ruined his career, and they made a big deal. Michael Savage has made a career out of it and has sold a lot of books out of it, and yet no one really... His deal on MSNBC got very little publicity, very little media scrutiny for talents claimed to have been gay. I mean, it was a crank call, but nonetheless, get AIDS and die, you know? And like I said, the only best part of irony out of that, though, is that that show ended his final appearance on that show on TV with him eating a sausage at the end on camera. A great twist of irony there. But, you know, since he had made a sausage reference as a anti-gay remark, and when will people, you know, does he literally have to say that the gays should be hung with a pitchfork? I mean, this guy is so ridiculous. I feel like Louis Black.
No, it boggles the mind, doesn't it? It really does boggle the mind. Tell you what, Spike, why don't you hang on the line? I got to take a news break, and then I'll come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. That's our good friend Spike from Easton, Pennsylvania. He's going to hang on the line. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. You can hit the archives at whiterosesociety.org. We're going to take a break for the news, and we'll be right back.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says the level of violence in Iraq is much worse than a civil war. He says Iraq is more dangerous now than it was during the regime of Saddam Hussein. In Iraq, four Marines died after their helicopter broke down today, forcing an emergency landing. 9 other American troops died over the weekend. That's 14 in the past 4 days. Also in Iraq, at least 30 Iraqis were killed today in sectarian violence. 70 bodies were found dumped throughout the country, 50 of them in Baghdad. In Washington tomorrow, Senate confirmation hearings for Robert Gates, the president's choice for defense secretary. This weekend, a memo written by Donald Rumsfeld was released. Rumsfeld called for a major adjustment in Iraq tactics because, quote, what U.S. forces are currently doing in Iraq is not working well enough or fast enough, end quote. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. John Bolton has resigned after leading senators from both parties announced they would not support his nomination. In the Philippines, aid groups estimate at least 1,000 people died in last week's typhoon. More than 60,000 were made homeless. The typhoon is now headed for southern Vietnam. In the U.S. Supreme Court today, demonstrations outside the courthouse as justices heard arguments on affirmative action cases in public schools. The justices will decide whether programs in Seattle and Louisville establish student diversity or promote illegal race quotas. In the southern plains and Midwest, there are still hundreds of thousands of residents without power following 5 days of freezing temperatures. 19 people were killed last week after the season's first major storm hit the region. In Southern California, 70-mile-an-hour Santa Ana winds continued to spread a wildfire northwest of Los Angeles, which has doubled in size since it broke out yesterday. 9,700 acres and 5 homes have been destroyed. In Grants Pass, Oregon, 2 San Francisco children, including an infant, as well as their mother, were found alive in the snowy wilderness today after having been missing for more than a week. The family's father, who set off on foot to seek help, remains missing. In Chile, former dictator General Augusto Pinochet is hospitalized. He's responsible for the torture and death of hundreds of thousands of Chileans.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
OPEC's president says the world is oversupplied by 1 million barrels a day. The oil cartel meets 10 days from now and is expected to cut oil supply. A Dubai official says China wants to negotiate directly with OPEC to ensure a stable oil supply for its country. Drug maker Pfizer has shut down trials on an experimental new drug for heart disease following the deaths of 82 people involved. Pfizer spent $1 billion on the new drug. A labor dispute in Las Vegas could severely disrupt services at two major hospitals where nurses are being locked out of their jobs today. As a response, nurses are setting up picket lines. A New Jersey Taco Bell has been temporarily closed after 22 customers were sickened by E. coli. A similar outbreak in a Long Island Taco Bell has also been reported. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.46 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 90 points at 12,283. The NASDAQ up 35 at 2448. The S&P 500 up 12 at 1409. Gold ended trading at $651.40 an ounce. Silver at $14.28 an ounce. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lunt. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Welcome back to the program. Here in the second hour of the Bruce Birch Radio Program, beaming to you through the internet. Sound effects are free, folks. If you'd like to get the archives of this show or any show on the Head On Radio Network, I would like to recommend highly that you go over to whiterosesociety.org. My good friend and compadre in the struggle, Ben Birch, no relation. That's his new last name, by the way. No relation. Is over there, and he archives this show and every other show on the Head On Radio Network, and I do recommend highly you go over there and pick up the archive. If you didn't hear this today, or if you didn't hear a show last week, you want to hear one, go pick them up. You can hear me all the time over there, me and Bob and Guy James and John Fox and all the guys, Cup of Joe, Mark Levine. We got a bunch of folks here on the network now. Let's see. The other thing, too, if you want to get in on the show today, it's 1-877-443-2366. That's the number. You can also email me if you want to do it that way. It comes zipping, zapping, interneting in to bruce@brucebirch.com. That's B-U-R-C-H. bruce@brucebirch.com. We left our good friend Spike on hold going into the news break. Spike, you still with us?
Yeah, I am. Hey, real quick, before we go any further, you said it was freezing cold down there tonight?
Oh, yes.
What is what you guys down there consider freezing cold, out of curiosity?
It's at least 40.
At least 40. It's 25 here right now. That's what I was wondering.
Actually, it's about 30 out there, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is pretty cold for the Carolinas.
Now, in wintertime now, Spike, we get down into the teens here, buddy.
Yeah, but to you guys, 3 inches of snow is like a natural disaster.
Is this about mocking Southerners tonight? Because, you know, I can always dump you.
No, it isn't about mocking Southerners. It's the way in the North we mock people who live in the warmer part of the country when we're cold and shoveling several feet of snow.
Well, you know, I live now, Spike.
I mock on a regular basis when they complain. Oh, it was freezing today. It was this.
Now, Spike, I know I have told you before. I lived through a winter
in Pennsylvania,
right on the snow belt of I-90, northeast of of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you were in one of the worst parts of Pennsylvania for snow, too. Yeah,
yes, I was.
I remember a
4-foot snowfall in one night.
And from what I recall, you don't really miss those winters any longer either.
No, I don't. However, you know, I wouldn't mind having a good 6 to 12 inch snowfall. You know, one or two a winter would be cool with me. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, we would be happy with that too. But usually, Mother Nature doesn't agree with it. I remember we had 4.5 feet of snow on the ground at one point during a winter 4 years ago, and the corners of the streets you had snow over 10 feet high. You couldn't even see around corners. It was a mess. My mother had a puppy that we'd like dig a trench out in the yard for him, just so he could run around. But at least Easton's a little better than Toby Hanna. Toby Hanna's like living in Canada. But real quick,
do they say A and drink lots of Molson?
Well, actually, there's no real lingo in Toby Hanna because it's a revolving door of transients between the Army Depot, where President Bush slammed Kerry on Veterans Day a few years ago. A very infamous speech, of course, happened in the hometown I grew up in. And the other side of town is basically the people from the worst parts of the New York City area, many of whom are fugitives from justice, kind of hiding out in the Poconos, and usually they don't last because one winter there, and they realize that that's not their cup of tea.
It would be better to be in jail.
It would be better to be in jail than have to deal with the ridiculous amount of snow and ice that you have to deal with in Toby Hanna. Well, Toby Hanna, back in the day, its main economic function in Pennsylvania was that's where they made the ice cubes for the ice boxes. And they had a big warehouse to store them all, and that was the big industry in Toby Hanna, was making ice back in the pre-refrigeration days. So that should give you an idea of what Toby Hanna is like in the winter. But,
It's a cottage industry. It's a cottage industry. Well, Spike, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is what's the reaction now of having a new senator from up there?
Well, it couldn't be any worse than Rick Santorum, or at least so we think. I mean, you brought up before some of the shortcuts on issues that Arlen Specter hasn't always been good on, but in the same, at least he's been good on other issues. Santorum, for a long time, has just been horrible on every issue. If you look at the numbers from that election, all the Republicans who lost got about 30% of the vote, which means essentially the people who just voted straight Republican were the only ones voting for them, essentially. Lynn Swann got about the same amount. Don, I didn't strangle her, but I did sleep with her behind my wife's back. Sherwood, he got about the same percentage of vote. It was some of the smaller congressional elections were much different. With those bigger nationally focused elections, it was about 30%. They all got about 30%. And I'm convinced, really, the only people that voted for him were the ones who just blindly vote Republican no matter who they put in place. Just kind of like the same people, you know, at one time blindly voted Democrat no matter who they put in place. And, you know, that's how they ended up with Joe Lieberman as a vice presidential candidate once. But
I got something I want you to listen to.
It'll be good to see him leave, but unfortunately, our quote liberal senator will still be Arlen Specter. Casey is I supported Casey. I even had a yard sign up for him because that's how egregious Santorum is. I'm going to be honest with you. I have more faith that that Specter is going to vote in favor of the liberals than Bob Casey, because the Casey clan is a very, very right wing group. You know, the children of Holy Cross. The College of Holy Cross, you know.
Right.
His old man was an extremely conservative individual. And I think it'll be the same with the son. I mean, like father, like son. And that was essentially what he was campaigning on. And the only upside was that the only card that Santorum had up his sleeve for rural Pennsylvania was abortion. And he couldn't pull that one out because Casey already had it on the table showing. And
if you remove, yeah, and I, you know, there was some the cool thing is that around the country there was a lot of those issues became non-issues really quickly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Once because you put a conservative in the Democratic Party, you just their one issue was a no issue suddenly. You know, same with I believe Jim Webb used to be a Republican as well, was he not?
Yes, he was. He was actually Secretary of the Navy, if I remember. Was he Secretary of the Navy? Anyway.
But,
I got something I want you to listen to, Mike. Spike, I got something I want you to hear, okay?
Okay.
Now, we were talking about Michael Richards.
Okay.
And Michael the Savage Wiener.
Does Savage actually talk about this?
Yes, he did. You want to hear it?
Oh, please. I want to hear the hypocrisy and process here.
All right, here we go.
Listening to the character Kramer from Seinfeld in a tirade at a comedy club Friday night that set off a shockwave across America, this is not a Mel Gibson situation. It's, I don't think he can use Mel's defense that it was the liquor talking. This is, to me, from the gut. This is an interesting story, but this is what the subtext of liberalism really is. Under the surface, if you got them in a room alone, I guarantee you they'd say the same kind of hateful things about Catholics and about Jews and about straights and about soldiers. Kerry gave us a smaller version of it, by the way. Kerry did it in an albeit high-class way, but John Kerry did the same thing, in my opinion.
Not only did he tie in Catholics and Jews and straights and soldiers, he even tied in John Kerry.
Yeah, well, John, what a great lightning rod to try to attach to all of them. John Kerry.
This is an interesting story, but this is what the subtext of liberalism really is.
As egregious as what Richard said, at least at first he got a few chuckles, you know, something Kerry isn't even capable of doing, talking just like this anytime he tries to tell a joke. Yeah, I just love, first of all, he's always got to tie in some sort of hate towards, that's what's great, he talks about the hate, and then he gets a quick little slap on the gaze as quickly as possible. I mean, a man who used to take off his clothes and hang out with Allen Ginsberg, a man with a kind of a controversial history there involving his personal life, Ginsberg, and you know, what they always say about homophobic people is the reason they're homophobic is that they something they're embarrassed about themselves. And Weiner would fit that to a T, that definition, because the more I listen to him, the more I think he's embarrassed of something that took place in his past that he doesn't want people to know about, you know. And, well, it's Alan Keyes, you know. Alan Keyes.
Let's take a listen at the wonderful egalitarian attitude that Savage upholds. I mean, you know,
Keith Ellison won't swear to uphold the oath of office on the Bible, but on the Quran instead. This is unbelievable to me. So what's next? A witch gets elected, and she says she's going to only be sworn in with a hand over a pentagram. When does this end? Tell me when this ends, the tyranny of the psycho, whacked-out minority. Tell me when it ends.
You know what? If I get elected to Congress and he still has a radio show, I will take my oath on a stack of hustlers just to really give it. And I'm sure Larry Flint will sit right next to me just so I can really just stick it to them. I mean, Overman, of course, the only one in the mainstream media who's gone after him for that. He played that today and gave him the silver and the worst person in the world today. The only show where people actually get strung up for being hateful in the media. And he played that, and he explained anyone who's ever done it with a Bible is just going for a cheap photo op. And I thought that was a great point, you know. Overman kind of just came right out with it, what that is. You know, it's a cheap photo op. It's a cheap way to just try to fool the Christians into thinking you're actually working for them when you actually go back to the office and sell every one of the poor bastards down the tube for a nickel apiece. You know, that's essentially what this whole swearing on the Bible thing is. And it shows how little the Bible's worth by the people who swear on it when you really look at it.
Reeling you back a little bit, but when they swear in Congress, they don't use the Bible.
Yeah, they just put their hand on a on the nothing.
They don't
really
even put their hand on anything. They just raise their right hand and they get sworn in. Now a lot of the representatives will go ahead and have fake swearing in pictures taken where they have their hand on a Bible, but the actual swearing into office is not done on a religious text.
Yeah. Like I said, I would go at my Bible just to really put them all in a tizzy. And
Hustler, huh?
Yeah, Hustler. Well, of course. What better voice of insanity and yet the right to free speech in this country? As offensive as this material might be, my Lord, it's becoming scary that man is starting to become the voice of reason in this country, if you really look at it.
Well, you know, Larry Flint, man, he did a lot in protecting the First Amendment, you know?
He did a lot. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Reagan Revolution would have... it would have put a lot of silver lightning bolts on the collars of law enforcement in this country. And, you know, that man in a wheelchair who took a bullet, essentially, for free speech while he's been making a great profit off of free speech, you know, it's really what the country has stood for. And to be honest with you, bit of a creep. I personally enjoy some of the material, you know. My right as an American. And,
you're appealing more than you probably should.
I'll move to Iran, you know. They tell us how bad Iran is. That's the kind of place where porn's illegal, you know. Afghanistan, you know, where women have to be covered up. You know, that's the sick perverseness of being that prude. And that's what some of these people on the right in this country want to take us down that road. Cover up the women and, you know, let's live like savages.
Put them all in hoop skirts and stick them in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, well, I'm sure some of them, a hoop skirt would be too short. It shows their feet. You know, they are people with feet fetish in this country.
Well, they got to be barefoot and pregnant. So, I mean, all right. So, well, Spike, I got to let you go because I'm going to take a quick break and then cover some other stuff. But I really appreciate you calling into the program tonight.
Yeah, it's just as well you go. Now I'm starting to make the show digress a little bit here. So, yes, it was definitely good talking to you again.
Yeah, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful weekend or week, whatever it is, a weekday. Yes, have a good weekday tomorrow, and Merry freaking Christmas, man. That's our good friend Spike from Easton, PA. I couldn't resist the parting shot. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program. I'm taking a break. We'll be right back.
When I crawled out of bed this morning, I could tell something wasn't right. There were cigarettes in the ashtrays, and they weren't your menthol lights. There were beer bottles in the kitchen.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government, and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4, and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers, so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Here's the boss fella now. How are you, Bruce?
Good night, Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
Bruce.
How are you, Bruce?
Good night, Bruce.
Right. Get up, stand up for your rights, folks, because that's what it's all about. Here on the Bruce Birch Radio program, we try to, talk about some of those things from time to time. You know, what it is that you need to get up and stand up to do. And in particular, there is an event the weekend of January the 27th in Washington, D.C., sponsored by United for Peace and Justice. You can go to, I believe it's unitedforpeace.org. Massive anti-war demonstration planned for that weekend, and the push is on. I would like to recommend highly that you set aside that weekend to go up to D.C. to stand up for your rights. The March on Washington, D.C., is an extraordinary chance to press the new Congress to take action to bring the troops home now. United for Peace and Justice is also making plans for anti-war strategy meetings and skills trainings on Sunday, January the 28th, and for a major grassroots lobby day on Monday, January 29th. Now, if you want more information, again, go to unitedforpeace.org. And you can find out more information. Apparently already there are groups that are planning to send people to this march from all over the country. So if you want to be in on this, you know, make plans now. The other thing to do also is to, to think about what it is that you want to, what kind of message you want to give to your senator or congressman. I mean, if you're coming from a ways away, go ahead and plan for a four-day weekend. Come in on Friday or a five-day weekend. How about that? Take a couple, two or three days off from work. Come in on a Friday to D.C. There's plenty of cheap hotels outside of the district in Arlington or Vienna, Lee's Chapel. You can take the metro into town. The D.C. metro is fantastic. It'll drop you right downtown, right down by the Federal Triangle, and you can take that, once you take that particular subway stop, the metro stop there, you can walk right up to the to the Washington Monument, where I would suppose most of this will be gathering. Now, the last major mobilization that happened in Washington, D.C. drew 500,000 people. The march route was completely filled from beginning to end with people, and it was about 4 or 5 miles long, down Constitution, up Pennsylvania, then down around by the White House, and then down 17th Street, back to Constitution Avenue. And I was there myself. It was September the 24th of 2005. I can't impress upon you the importance of making a plan to go to this. Now, I will be there myself, all right? Don't know if we're going to be doing a special broadcast or special coverage of this event that day, but if we do, you will be hearing about it here on the Horn as we get closer to that time. At any rate, I will be there, and you know what we might try to do here on the Horn is gather up as many Horn people who want to go and try to figure out a place where we can meet and greet each other, and then march to end the war, march to end the illegal occupation of Iraq. Now, again, if you want more information, go to www.unitedforpeace.org. Okay? We need you to do that as soon as you can. Get ready. It's time. We got a new Congress. Maybe we can put some pressure on them to put some pressure on where the pressure needs to be. All right, let's go ahead and take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll go right to the phone lines. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program. If you want to get in on the show today, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
I've witnessed those one-night stands. Must have played in a thousand. Just here tonight, tomorrow I'll be gone. Seen folks show their blacker sides. Seen them die just for foolish pride. And those drivers always ask to hear that same old song.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Now, I'm not one to agree with President Bush very often, but he told the God's honest truth in Jordan when he said, "This business about a graceful exit just simply has no realism to it whatsoever." He's absolutely right. It's unrealistic to ever expect a graceful exit from Iraq. There is no exit marked graceful. Instead, they're marked clumsy, embarrassing, humiliating, bloody, bloodier, and bloodiest. Bush said, "I'm not going to pull the troops off the battlefield before the mission is complete." But what was that mission again? Would that be finding the non-existent weapons of mass destruction? Or breaking the invisible link between Saddam and Osama? Or liberating Iraqi women who were much better off before? Or providing a more stable life for the Iraqi people who want the U.S. to scram? Even the fallback about installing democracy in Iraq seems to be an open question in this Bush administration, as Hadley expressed grave doubts about Maliki just days before Bush met him. Bush defended Maliki, for whatever that's worth. He called him the right guy for the job, just like Brownie was for FEMA, or just like he said, I looked into Putin's soul. What did he find there, a vial of polonium? Granted, Bush had little choice but to embrace Maliki, because there's no Saddam without a mustache waiting in the wings who can clean the place up. Maliki can't, a new strongman can't, and Bush certainly can't. The situation there is hopeless. Head to the nearest exit. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Coffee on the Bruce Birch radio program. As a matter of fact, in the chat room right now, they're having a spirited conversation about coffee, and it does make you have hair on your chest, by the way. Let's go straight over to the phone lines. Our good friend Jim is joining us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Jim, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, okay. Just listening to your latest words of wisdom. I didn't realize that coffee would have such an effect on hair growth. My God,
it's actually stouter than Rogaine, but you have to drink it black and thick.
Oh dear. I think not.
Sorry. Oh my goodness.
Well. Maybe we dog with your oral, I don't know.
Did I throw you off course there, Jim? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, I was just listening to the comments about some of these luminaries like Bill O'Reilly, who is a blatant misogynist, and Michael Savage, who is a reincarnation of Roy Cohn, just a closet queen. And I was just thinking, well, thank God for them, because they do keep the liberal press up to their ears in mink, right?
Yes, they do.
I mean,
yes,
if it weren't for these a-holes saying all this ridiculous stuff, I mean, what would we have to talk about?
Well, what would we have to laugh at? I mean, it's actually downright.
There's some people who take these guys seriously.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I didn't cut you off there, but, you know, I was just thinking how we've really come a long way in the past 30, 40 years that the airways would be filled with such drivel as comes out of the mouths of some of these people.
Well, you know, they scream about us trying to protect First Amendment rights and how dare we, you know, try to allow free speech. And you know what? If there wasn't free speech, half of what they say would get eliminated. You know,
well,
I think that people like Michael Savage, you know, they appeal to a certain demographic, and that demographic is people who already hate anyway.
Well, these men are, as far as I'm concerned, are men without any type of real moral courage and fiber.
Mm-hmm.
they don't possess those real qualities, in my opinion.
They definitely don't have any principles to speak of, do they?
No, they wouldn't. And if you put them in a dangerous situation, they'd run for the nearest whatever hoop skirt if they could get under it.
Hoop skirt. Did you like that little mention of the hoop skirt, Jim?
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it, Miss Scarlet. What can I tell you?
Miss Scarlet. Well, she was very sultry in a hoop skirt, wasn't she?
Well, I thought Vivian Leigh was an extremely beautiful woman and a very troubled soul, but still, I think she did a wonderful job. And, you know, we've come a long way in the movies since the days of the dialogue and some of the films that were produced then. But, you know, I was thinking about men of courage in our past. And I never will forget the night when Martin Luther King was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Kennedy.
Have you seen the movie Bobby yet,
no,
Jim?
No, but he appeared in this crowd. No Secret Service, nothing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he did make a speech, and he told people, a lot of them didn't know that Dr. King had been assassinated. But he quoted this line from Aeschylus, which I'm going to share with you, with your permission.
Please do.
And he said this, "He who learned must suffer, and even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, and in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom to us by the awesome grace of God." And when I compare a man who thought along those lines, now he was still grieving for his dead brother, and Mrs. Kennedy, who was a scholar of Greek mythology as well as Greek classicism, they shared Aeschylus with Bobby Kennedy.
Yes.
It was their own way of trying to say, look, you know, this is the way things are and the acceptance of fate. But when you compare these a-holes that get on the air and strut and trut about the stage, filled with sound and fury, a tale told by an idiot that signifies nothing, with the words that came from men who were the caliber of Robert Kennedy. Now, he was no saint. He made his mistakes. He was even associated with Joe McCarthy and Roy Cohn. But at least Kennedy had the guts enough and the sense enough to turn around and realize the direction in which the country was going. And it's such a shame, in my opinion, that men like him are taken, and some of the ones that remain, they're just, well, it just goes to show that politicians are like whores and old buildings. If you hang around long enough, you'll gain some aura of respectability. But even in the case of some of these yahoos, I don't even think that action's going to apply. I don't know if what I've said has made a whole lot of sense, but...
Well, it has, Jim, and I think, you know, the one thing to keep in mind is that to say something profound that touches people is going to last with them a lot longer than to spew hate and to create a program based solely on a demographic that, you know, that enjoys belittling other people.
These guys want a rating chairs, and you know, they want, or whatever. What do they call them in the radio business when you get a, is it called a margin share or rating share? What is it called?
Yeah, rating share.
Well, that's what they're interested in, and they're interested in, you know, promoting their own agenda, which lasts for about 10 seconds with sound bites and all kinds of words filled with vitriol and hate. You know, Walter Winchell used to do this kind of crap, my dad said, back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And, you know where he ended up? Doing a show in Las Vegas. That's where he ended up, yeah. He tried to do a show in Las Vegas. And you know when he died, how many people attended his funeral?
How many?
One.
Really?
Daughter.
Wow.
And yet he ruled the airwaves. He really did. He can make or break a lot of people. Brief gaudy hour, my friend. Just brief gaudy hour.
Well, I got to tell you, my friend, you know, one of the reasons why I started doing this program was not for personal gain or for fame or any other, excuse my French, bullshit. I did it because I believed that I could that I could make a difference, and I believe that I could help other people make a difference. And I think slowly but surely we have made a difference. We have created a community, and by creating that community, Jim, we are living the embodiment of what Dr. King and what Bobby Kennedy and what John Kennedy tried to create on a larger scale. We're doing it in a smaller way, but we're doing it nonetheless. And to me, that is the most important part of all this. It's not, you know, saying inflammatory things to try to get people ginned up or whatever. The most important part of this, in my view, is to try to create positive energy where there wasn't any.
Oh, yeah. You know? This is very true. And I'm afraid there's been a discharge of positive energy, and there's not a whole lot left. I mean, we find ourselves embroiled in a war that is totally unjustifiable and equally unwinnable. And yet we have a Gann who's up there telling us to stay the course, who I think is really mentally impaired and, you know, psychologically damaged beyond repair of any type. And that's kind of a tough road to hoe right now.
Well, it is. And I think that with the right public pressure on the new Congress that this government can self-correct. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, and I don't want to sound too cynical here, but, you know, in my view, each one of those politicians, especially the ones who have been there for decades, they've stayed there for decades because they knew how to play the game.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Well, the message that we need to send is that it's, okay, we're done playing games. The games are over, all right? What we want to see is honesty, integrity, transparency in government. It's time. We cannot go on, with everyone thinking that everything's lovely and wonderful, and meanwhile we have operatives around the world killing and assassinating and torturing people. That's just totally the antithesis of what we're supposed to be about.
Well, yeah, but unfortunately, Bruce, our history is not exactly written that way. If we look at our history of our own country, I mean, our history was basically written on three boxes: the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's something else we've got to face too. There's enough lane to go around yet for an awful lot of people. And why in the world somebody can get ginned up about saying Merry Christmas, I don't understand. I just don't understand that. And you don't have to put that in front of it either.
I think it's funny. If that is the big issue of the day, then we must be doing pretty good, huh?
Well, unfortunately, it would be great if it were. Unfortunately, it's not the biggest issue of the day, and it's the issue that's designed to distract people from the real issues of the day.
Yep.
That's the problem there.
Right.
If we were addressing the real problems of the world and doing what was really right, I don't think we would have to worry about greetings and salutations. I think that situation would take care of itself, you know? These are symptomatic things, not causative things, and they're certainly not palliative in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
They don't heal.
Yeah.
And so those are the only words I have to share with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to so do.
Well, Jim, thanks for calling, man. I know it's kind of late for you, but I'm glad that you're staying up and digging the program, man.
Late? Hell, when you and what's his name were on the line, when would I usually call?
John, you mean Fourth Estate? Yeah, Saturday night, 10 to 1. Yeah, we did that that overnight Saturday night gig, didn't we?
Right. Yeah. I mean, when would I call then? I usually call right at the whiskey hour.
That's right.
That's right.
You sure did.
Well, listen, you take care, and I hope you and your family have a very happy and healthy and a very merry Christmas and a prosperous new year.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure that I'll hear from you again before then, but I hope you do as well.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a great night. That's our good friend Jim calling in from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere, and let's go ahead. Let me think. Yeah, let's go ahead and take a very quick one, Bob. and then we'll come back and run the show out. You're listening to what are you listening to? Oh, yeah, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I'm Bruce, and I'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Yes, you are. And by the way, I just got an interesting question in the chat room, and the question is, don't they have caller ID? Why don't they know where Jim is? Oh, my God, that was too much. Well, here's the thing, Freckles, our good friend Freckles from down in Texas, she wrote that. Here's the thing. We know where Jim is. We just can't tell you, because if we did, then we'd have to kill you. And it's just that simple. Oh, my goodness. Okay, late-breaking news story that I want to run to you. Apparently, a federal court... in a press release issued today, the American Civil Liberties Union announced that a landmark case against Donald Rumsfeld will be heard in federal court this week. The ACLU and another legal rights organization, Human Rights First, are to appear in court on Friday to argue that Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld is directly responsible for the torture and abuse of detainees in U.S. military custody. The release went on, "The hearing will be the first time a federal court will consider whether top U.S. officials can be held legally accountable for the torture scandal in Iraq and Afghanistan," adding that the lawsuit was first filed in 2005 on behalf of 9 Iraqi and Afghan former detainees. The men were reportedly held in U.S. detention, where the ACLU asserts they were subjected to abuse, torture, cruel and degrading treatment, including severe and repeated beatings, cutting with knives, sexual humiliation and assault, mock executions, and threats of death, among other things. None of the men were ever charged with a crime, and all have been released. The ACLU adds that it also brought related suits against military officers tied to the Abu Ghraib prison scandal. You can check out more information by going to ACLU.org, ACLU.org. You can go check out and find out about that. Now, you know, tonight a lot of the conversation we've been talking about has sort of led me back down the trail to the same kind of premise that I operate from here on the program, and that is that you have the potential to create change in many areas. You yourself, that's right, all by yourself, have the potential to create change. Now, you can do it any number of ways. You can do it by acting with principle in your daily life and trying to make the world a better place by being a better person. You can do it by joining in with other activists and trying to create change on a more global scale by, for instance, joining the anti-war march on January 27th in Washington, D.C. You can do it by going to your grocery store, talking to folks in the checkout line about how crazy the Bush administration is, you know, and how good it is that there's Democrats who have principles who have been elected. You can also do it by listening to this program and participating. I mean, there's any number of ways that you yourself can create effective change in your community, in your life. I mean, there's many, many different ways. And, you know, the thing that I like to push for on this program is not only that you try to create that change, but that you create an atmosphere around you that also, in addition to creating change for yourself, creates an atmosphere that is conducive to change in others. There's a line that says as we become healthier people, we attract healthier people to us. Well, if you are doing that, if you are trying to create change around you, you're trying to create a new reality for yourself and for others around you, then they will see that. Other people will see that, and they'll be attracted to that. The people that want change also, you know, it's sort of like a birds of a feather flock together kind of thing. So I'm just going to recommend one thing, you know, and that is tomorrow, when you go about your daily life and you're walking, you know, you're in your school or you're in your workplace or you're in, you know, wherever you are, going to the gas station, you know, take the time, take a moment and say something nice to someone else. You know, take a moment and try to be, you know, a person that you would be proud to be. You know, I firmly believe that by those little acts of kindness and those little acts of self-sacrifice, that we can truly make this world a better place. You know, I mean, what have you got to lose? Right? Nothing. But maybe a few breaths that you're going to take anyway. I want to thank my good friend and compadre in the struggle, Bob Kincaid, for producing this program. Thank you very much, Bob. John Fox for being the announcer. Peter Godbold for being the computer professional. All of the mods in the chat room there, our good friend Gene and Susan, who do all of our postings at the Head On Radio Network blog site there. Thank you guys for all that you're doing. Ben Burt's White Rose Society for archiving this show and all of the shows on the Head On Radio Network, as well as managing the streams. He rocks. Go check him out, whiterosesociety.org. And also, listeners, I'd like to thank you very much for joining me this evening, because you're where change happens. It starts and ends with you. And you know what? Last but not least, it's your democracy too, folks. And it's not a spectator sport, so get out there and make a difference. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solid
to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush met with the top Shiite leader, Abdulaziz al-Hakim, today in Washington. He is considered a political rival of anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Al-Hakim is the head of the largest Shiite bloc in Iraq's parliament. In Iraq, four Marines have died after their helicopter made an emergency landing in a lake in the Anbar province today. 12 others survived the crash, which the military said was the result of mechanical failure. 70 bodies of Iraqis were found dumped throughout the country today, 50 of them in Baghdad. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said that Iraq is more dangerous now than it was during the regime of Saddam Hussein. The Senate Armed Services Committee confirmation hearings for Robert Gates, President Bush's choice to be the next defense secretary, will begin tomorrow. On Thursday, one day after the bipartisan Iraq Study Group's report is released, the president will meet with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. In Washington today, U.S. Ambassador to the UN John Bolton announced that he will step down when his temporary appointment is up within weeks. Several Republican and Democratic senators have said that they would not support his nomination. In Egypt, an American, 11 Europeans, and several Middle Easterners were arrested today. The Interior Ministry said they were part of an Islamic militant terrorist cell which was plotting terrorist attacks in Middle Eastern countries. In the Philippines, a U.S. Marine has been convicted and sentenced to 40 years in prison for the rape of a local woman. Three other Marines accused of cheering him on and their Filipino driver were all acquitted of complicity in the case. In Venezuela, President Hugo Chavez easily won his re-election to another six-year term. Chavez plans to implement more socialist policies both at home and abroad. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments today on a case that involved